Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. You know, Cynthia and I delight in this opportunity to join with you all to discuss life, love, lemonade, the universe, and everything in between. And we really do appreciate it when you take the time to write to us at our email, brazilbrit@gmail.com. And we love to get those emails from all over the world. And it's been so much fun to check it on a daily basis and see who's writing from where. So don't stop that. You know, from the island of Cyprus to Yorgos and his friend Banayodis, who, I hope I said that right, Banayodis, who downloaded the archives for the first time and listened to us, and they say, you girls are so much fun. Why not come to Cyprus and enlighten us? Hey, you know, Yorgos, the minute I can fit into a swimsuit, I'll be there. Okay. So thanks, everyone, and, you know, keep it up. Back to you, Cynthia.
Great. We want to remind our listeners that halfway through the show, we are definitely open to hearing your messages, your comments, and also your questions. And Ani, do you have that number for them?
I did. Did I forget to say that? Silly me.
Yes.
Here's the numbers. For all of you worldwide, the actual toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. That's 1-888-815-9756. If you can't get through on that number and you are in the United States, there's two other numbers I can give you, 530-776-5185. That's 530-776-5185. And also 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ani. Hey, everybody, welcome. And today's topic is medicine. Medicine on all levels. And again, please call in and give us your thoughts. You know, medicine is really an amazing spectrum. There's medicine alone could be a topic of conversation of many a show. So we're just going to try and really touch on it briefly, because to touch on the wholeness of it would be several more shows to come, which might be the case. But right now we want to talk about medicine and its origins, etc. And one of the things I wanted to touch on is, you know, medicine at one time, medicine long time ago, was considered more natural, offered by Mother Earth, flower beings, nature's bounty, her DNA, her light infrastructure, you know, alchemy. I think that medicine started on many different levels as alchemy, meaning people feeling guided to hear the call of Mother Earth and really the answer of Mother Earth to the question of how can I heal my loved one? Or, you know, even as simplistic as, ouch, that hurts, and the impulse to somebody taking a walk in nature, the impulse from being scratched by a stick to pick up a leaf and place it over the leg. So the natural communication, whether known or unknown by the human being, to communicate and allow Mother Earth to have not only input, but to really work as a, I would say, mirror of one another and a perfect resolution to the infrastructure of all perfect wholeness, light, and DNA. So medicine to me is fascinating. I work with soul medicine, physical imbalances, past life, present life, all different kinds of levels with clients on the phone and in person regarding either the medicine they're on now, whether it's synthetic or a course of natural herbs, etc., with a holistic doctor, about how what the body's message is, the body's own medicine. So it's fascinating to me that to go all the way back, I think maybe to the spoken word and prior to that, that Mother Nature has been guiding us for quite some time about how to restore within us, not only us, but our loved ones and the animal kingdom and all kinds of beings actually assisting us, on many different dimensions about how to return to our wholeness. Of course, we're going to cover the spectrum here today, but one of the things to really think about and contemplate is from natural to synthetic. It's once it changes your body chemistry, once you're taking medicine and it literally changes the soul signature and the script of your internal chemistry, that you now have altered the language. You need to respect that in your body. You've altered it to include a third or fourth or combination of synthetic drugs to include in the dialogue of your body, and that mustn't be ignored or taken lightly, that now that language is a communication that needs to be considered in getting off of any synthetic drug or even natural herbs, but that when you put something in the body, unlike our mental body's ability to ignore things, to take them for granted and to put them aside, there is not one ounce or smidgen of anything we put in our bodies that our bodies don't take into account, communicate with, and react to. So with all of that said and more to come, I want to hear Ani's thoughts.
Thanks, Cynthia. Yeah, you know, I think people, we have lost that connection to the intimacy with our natural environment that gives us that sense of balance of knowing how to take care of ourselves and trusting that instinct of what to do. You know, medicine is a whole big science now. You know, the art and science of healing, used to restore health, to maintain health, to prevent disease, and more often than not, unfortunately, used just to suppress the symptomology and tell the body to be quiet. I think, you know, you've heard me say this, and like, I'll say it a lot. I'll say it again right now. There's room for all medicine on this planet. We just have to know what we're taking, why we're taking it, how to take it, and when. We give away our power too easily by not understanding exactly what's wrong with us before we try to remedy. You know, the soul has the body for its purpose in a physical lifetime. You know, we need these bodies to ground ourselves on earth so we can walk around and have this physical incarnation. And, you know, the soul and the body need to be in communication, and the soul and the body need to be in communication with the environment that they live in. Our environment happens to be, part of it at least, planet Earth. And we know we've discussed this before, but we'll just say it again. Everything is emotional first, physical second. But once it's in the body, it usually needs to be treated both energetically and physically. It takes a strong spiritual awakening or someone with a great deal of faith or direct knowing to suddenly come down with a disease and understand universal principles and energetically, just through prayer, resolve it. So, you know, there's a lot at our disposal right now. We have to do it energetically and physically. And I'm okay with that. I know I'm an energetic healer, but, you know, we live in this planet, we live on our bodies. So it's going back to that balance and harmony and that soul and cellular communication, you know, that we're of. We just need to know when we're medicating our bodies and our minds, why we're doing it. And, you know, fear and love can't coexist. So fear and real healing, permanent healing, can't coexist either. How many times has somebody recovered from a serious condition with medication just to have it creep up 3 or 4 years later on because the energetic component wasn't realized and wasn't dealt with? And understanding this is a gradual process. It doesn't have to happen overnight. Nothing has to happen overnight. But it is important that we, you know, ask ourselves these questions. If I'm not well, if my body's hurting, it's saying something to me. If I put a pill in it, I'm telling it to shut up, which might be fine if I want to go to work and get on with my day. But what caused that, and where is that imbalance? Because it's never just physical. Back to you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Ani. You know, I definitely agree that imbalances occur in the emotional body first, actually in the electro body first, in the light structure, etc., and then moves. I think one of the last platforms and messengers is the body, to let the being take notice. Sometimes the only way to shout to the being to get through all the mental static is the body's symptoms as messengers from the body into the being. So one of the things is, you know, it's interesting because in my contemplation about all this with spirit and counsel was the question, does Does a pill have an emotion? Does medicine have an emotion? And the truth of the matter is everything that is created is affected by creator. And so the individual that is creating the medicine, whether it's a combination of several medicines or just one, even a vitamin or a natural source of herbs, that even though it goes through many hands, it is affected by all those thought forms at that moment that the pharmacy is even putting it into the bottle. The pharmacist's individual thought forms, etc., is affecting that. Now, as it passes through all the hands and as it breaks down from a natural substance to a synthetic one, etc., it's like breaking down constantly the DNA, and it's taking on new life and new form. By the time it gets to you, it's given to you and handed to you with the intention by the one that's handing it to you that this is going to cure you, this is going to help you, this is going to assist you. At that moment in time, does that pill have an emotion? Sure it does. It has the emotion and the DNA script and the input, etc., of all the hands and all the beings that affected it, contemplated it, created it till it got to you. When it gets to you, your belief, your contemplation of it, and your relationship to it, as you open the bottle or as you go to take that herb and you ingest it in your body, it then takes on your soul script, your signature, your belief about what it's going to do. So at that moment in time, you decide and communicate with that energetic, because all food, all structure, all matter, including pills to a leaf, first is energy, thought, and light, and love, then becomes the matter of substance. So before it becomes that substance, it's communicating with all different levels. So it's fascinating to really have the concept and contemplate where it has traveled from and why it's in your hands, and once you take it, that you can communicate with it. There are a lot of children, I want to touch on this, throughout the world that are suffering from the illusion of ADD, attention deficit disorder, and a lot of inner children in adults are suffering from that too. When I say suffering, what I'm saying is that they're suffering in the illusion of it. They're suffering because they are not understanding on many levels. And again, everyone who's listening and participating, don't stop your medication by any way, shape, or form. This is for you to contemplate. If you're going to change medication, or if you have an aha moment or an awakened thought, go to your doctor and talk with them before you get off any medication. With that said, attention deficit disorder energetically is a quantum leap in the physical energetic vibration of the makeup of the electrons and the neurons and the impulses of your body's natural response and relationship to the quickening of the electromagnetic fields, which means the aura, the thought form, and the body of work of Mother Earth. So a lot of people, a lot of people have capitalized on the opportunity of people wanting a fast fix or not wanting to really sit and contemplate with it, or giving it to a child to help, and I totally understand that. You see your child unable to deal, the first thing as a parent and one that's loving that you want to do is assist that child. However, contemplate to really look into a natural holistic concept as well, or energetic, not relating to the individual past lives of children, et cetera, and what's their karmic, I would say, let's say, contracts are. But with all of that said, the invitation is that if you see, and I get to see this all over the world, your phone readings all over the world, and what I have the honor and opportunity to see is pockets all over the world of symptomology and reactions from the physical body of groups of consciousness going through similar things, and it doesn't matter if they're on one side of the world or the other, they're experiencing similar effects. And that is that the faster vibrational increase and the quantum leap of electrons and of light frequency, etc., all that's going on in the universe to Mother Earth, and as beings upon her, we're experiencing it through the feet, up through the head, and back again. We are literally living in Mother Earth's auric field. We will be affected. That a lot of it can be realigning and recalibrating the energy body instead of relying on a drug. And the reason I say that is I don't think drugs are wrong or bad. I think that drugs are part of the wholeness. We've created them. We're interacting with them. If they're wrong and bad, then a part of what we're doing, we're rejecting. So we might as well be inclusive, but do it mindfully and with wisdom and understanding that the symptoms of the body are messengers, and that medicine can also bring you comfort, even assist in saving lives. So it's not necessarily all good or bad. It's all inclusive. It's your personal experience in the moment. But medicine, I think, is phenomenal and incredible. But just like technology, without spirituality or wisdom, can be disastrous and destroy, I think so as well with any kind of synthetic or lack of consciousness in participating in drugs. Ani?
Yeah, well put, Cynthia. You know, I've been doing this job for more years than I care to remember right now. And, you know, my work and the patients that I see, the clients that I see, have changed considerably over time. I spend 5 days a week one-on-one with people who have various different complaints, everything from cold feet to cancer and everything else in between. But what I'm really seeing now is people in a state of heightened confusion, sort of marginal paranoia at times. And what I'm trying to say is whatever the complaint that they come in with, there's a little bit more confusion and a little bit more fear attached to it than there was, say, when I started this 25, 27 years ago. And it's been incremental, and I feel like it's almost happened overnight, but of course, like anything else, it happens. It's incremental. But I'm having to reassure people right now that they're not having some sort of mental breakdown. And I never used to see this before. People had a different attitude to their illnesses. So I thank you for everything that you said about the energetic field and being in Earth's aura, because that totally makes sense to me. And it explains a great deal. You know, the energetic healing more than anything else, and I'm not tooting my own horn or my own profession here, people, but a lot of you who come in very frazzled states, and you know, I'm very, you know, concerned for you, want to take care of you and want to move you on to the next stage of your evolution. Once we've sat down and we've talked about it and we've looked at the blood test and we've looked at the MRIs, we do the energetic healing and we recalibrate the body's energies. And guess what? The vast majority of the physical symptomology simply fades away, because, you know, we've regrouped that morphic resonance. We've changed your intimate energetic environment. You know, I mean, in ancient times, things were so much simpler. I mean, when I say ancient times, there are so many cultures and civilizations that, you know, that existed on Earth that we don't know anything about, or we've chosen not to know anything about. But things were kept as simple as possible, you know, in the times before we could read and write. You know, any illness which could not be explained, like a broken leg or whatever, you know, was blamed on some supernatural cause, and, you know, the local shaman who was apparently much better connected to the gods, you know, would be able to pray and channel information and affect change in the physical body. You know, and perhaps the medicine man did have a really good clear channel to higher wisdom. But I suspect a great deal of it was trial and error. You know, Kate came into play. Try this herb. Oops, sorry, that didn't go so well. Try that herb. You know, and this knowledge was passed down orally until the written word was formulated by us. You know, they did what they could. They watched monkeys put clay on their wounds, and then they thought, oh, this might be good for us. Let's try it. You know, nothing was in a state of panic. Nothing was in a state of, you know, there wasn't that sense of urgency that, ooh, if I don't take care of this now, something terrible is going to happen. You know, it was far more, it was a simpler time, and we took the time to really feel what we were feeling in our bodies. So, you know, although technically we're very advanced now, over so many centuries, so many schools of thought have evolved, we have such wonderful diagnostic tools, which you should use, you know, the MRIs and the the CAT scans and all of that sort of stuff. We have such fantastic technology and, you know, great drugs that if used properly for short periods of time can be absolutely fabulous for you. But we've shifted our consciousness, I would say mainly since we discovered that disease was transmitted by bacteria somewhere in the 1880s. You know, this led to the discovery of the antibiotics, which is a good thing. As if you have your arm being eaten up by a staph infection, antibiotics are wonderful. And, you know, that started so many advancements in science and so many advancements in technology. So now we have everything at our disposal, very specific drugs that can target very specific areas of the brain and other parts of the body. However, they're very, very specific and very, very localized. And we've gone away from that being one with the intimate nature of our environment, both energetically and of Mother Earth. So we have lost that wholeness, that oneness, that ability to treat a disease as a whole person, mind, body, and soul. At least for the greatest part in Western medicine, we've lost that. And I'm going to hand you back on to Cynthia in a moment, but later on, if I have the time, I would like to talk a little bit about alternative methods for you, energetic methods like traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, which heal energetically and physically at the same time. Back to you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Ani. You know, I want to share with people, too, the contemplation of why do certain people feel at peace and feel very connected and able to function on a particular drug or medicine to the degree that when they're off of that medicine that they feel panicked, unable to deal, etc. That's very symbolic that drug has taken over the wisdom, guidance, and most importantly, the trust with oneself to locate, access, sustain, and live out the function of peace, serenity, functioning altogether in a state of grace with oneself, that capacity to feel that without the drug is what the journey needs to be, what you need to return to, that if you're only able to access and give life to certain feelings while on medicine, then it's very symbolic that in itself is a message to you that you have not yet claimed that piece of yourself. You have not yet claimed that aspect on many levels, probably emotionally first, and then all the way through to the physical, that's where your journey should begin, not by getting off the medicine, but while on it, seeking the route back to yourself of that place of peace, trust, guidance, and wisdom, and then slowly make your choices and follow that journey. But it's really important that your internal environment not be necessarily rewritten by medicine. Now, there are many people out there that are on medicine and that it's lifelong medicine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think if it gives you a quality of life, then I totally support that and I agree with it. So again, it's all inclusive. It's really what is your personal choice, your personal taste, and what is your personal focus. So there's nothing wrong with it. I think medicine is the key, actually, on many levels to, illness and imbalance is the key to medicine because without it, we would not seek to create medicine. But I think that a lot of people are seeking their internal power, not power over, power with, in exchange for not being dependent not only on medicine and drugs, but on their environment with relationships. So, you know, synthetic collaborating differentials, meaning three or four or five different medicines in one, creates a whole schematic of change inside the body because you have five or six medicines coming in one pill, let's say, and the body is reading all of the different, really, directives, not necessarily the pill itself. When you eat anything or take medicine or drink anything, even though it's going in as a physical object, when it goes into your mouth and it gets swallowed, it turns into pure energy. And the energy has been read like a computer program by the DNA and the script of your internal body, emotional, mental, spiritual, etc., outside of time. It's read literally like it would read a DNA strand, and then the emotional intention, or what's maybe not the emotional, maybe the physical intention in the relationship to that drug, is then the effect that the body tells itself and all the layers, okay, represents this effect. So the reason why I'm saying that is, at any time after you've taken medicine, let's say you've been sick and you've been blessed to be able to get antibiotics, and if that's the route you've taken and you feel better and you want to return to the natural acidic level of your body, etc., at any time you can communicate with the DNA in your body and focus on the drug or the medicine you've taken and literally talk to the cellular structure of your body like a conversation like you would with a friend, and let your body know, I'm going to take the same amount of medicine, but I give permission for you to react less to it and more to something else. I mean, it's a beautiful, magnificent, really undiscovered potential that our bodies, mind, and spirits have to, at any moment, in the moment itself, to change the outcome of what our prior choice was and our future choices are. So really, the moment, also being mindful and in the moment, is what can alter your experience. One other thing, fear. Fear about how you're feeling, fear about what the medicine's doing. There's a lot of people that are on medicine and afraid to get off of it, or not on medicine and wanting to be on it, etc. It's all about your personal journey. But fear itself, false evidence appearing real, can alter your body's reaction, not only to what you're experiencing, but the fear of it might be a symbolic message to you, the fear of anything, about the direction that you need to claim your power and claim yourself in. And so that can be related to medicine or drugs, relationships, etc. But when you're seeking to know within you, what's the next step for me in my spiritual journey, in my physical journey, in journey altogether, seek to know and find where your greatest fear is. And that's most likely the next step for you to take, whether it's medicine, emotional, or reactional. Ani?
Thank you, Cynthia. You know, I think we all know that pharmaceutical companies are very wealthy, and they do have a huge hold over the medical community. And I'm not going to sit and trash pharmaceutical companies because I don't have teams of lawyers to back up what I say like they do. But, you know, put them aside for a moment. Doctors I know, I believe, I work with doctors every day, they go into medicine to help people. They don't go into medicine to prescribe drugs, but pretty much that's how it goes with the system now. You know, their hands are tied by the insurance companies, and they're overwhelmed by their workload for the most part, and they're too quick to prescribe medication to their, and the patients are too quick to take it. Now, I totally agree with what Cynthia says. If you have made a decision to take medication, okay, that's fine. Make friends with your decision and make friends with your medication. Some of these drugs have very serious side effects, and a little research on our part, the part of the patient, a little compliance on the part of the patient goes a long way. Don't just take a drug that you don't understand. You know, research it. Ask the doctor what it's all about. If he or she won't tell you, that's not a good sign. You might want to look at another doctor. But anyway, even if you have to see that doctor, research the drug before you take it and understand a little bit about it. Understand the actual implications of the condition that you went in to see the doctor. Don't think that, oh, I have something I don't understand. I'm going to someone who's better than me, who's going to give me a pill, and it's going to make it better. Have a relationship with this medication. Talk to it as it goes into your body. I work with many cancer patients who have decided to go for chemotherapy, and that's fine. And I've had the honor of sitting with them while the chemotherapy is administered. It's not fun, you know. It's more fun when I'm sitting next to you cracking jokes, but on the whole, it's not fun. And what we do is we sit and we, you know, we talk to the body, we balance the body, but we also talk to the pharmaceutics as they go in. We talk to the chemicals as they go into the body, and we say, just kill the bad stuff. Leave the good stuff alone. And we're very diligent in this. We're very persistent. We're very focused and very gentle and loving as we do this. But the difference is quite spectacular with the, you know, people who have had this emotional relationship with their chemotherapy, where they've accepted it and they're talking to it and they're changing the structure so that it's not going to destroy everything in their system. So, you know, a little compliance, a little research on our part absolutely goes a long way. And with, I just have to say, you know, with any medication that you take, please remember to take extra fiber and extra water. And to exercise if you're allowed to, you know, a little gentle walking, that type of thing, so that the energetics of the actual medicine move and are assimilated and absorbed within your body. It makes it a lot more effective. And the water, of course, and the fiber helps you to eliminate any of the toxins from the medication and from your body that the body no longer needs. Okay. Do I have time to talk about acupuncture a little bit, Cynthia?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Oh, thank you. You know, like I said, there's room for all types of medicine. There's fabulous medicine from all over the world. The Indian subcontinent has its Ayurvedic medicine, again, all about balance and harmony. What I'm particularly fond of, because of the wholeness and the completeness of it, is traditional Chinese medicine. And when I say that, people generally go, oh, acupuncture. Well, it's not just acupuncture. You know, if you actually do go to Asian countries, to China, etc., the acupuncturists, not to downplay them, they're medical practitioners, but sometimes they're just a technician. So when you're looking for an acupuncturist, don't just look for the initials LAC. Look for somebody who has a master's degree in Chinese medicine, which is a MACOM. And these are people who have not just studied acupuncture, but studied all of the herbal medicine that goes along with Chinese medicine. And the reason I like the Chinese medicine, one, for 5,000 years, these people have been getting it right. And they've achieved a fabulous balance of herbs and the actual acupuncture itself. They use all sorts of different massage techniques like Tui Na and Shiatsu, which is a sort of a pull-and-grab acupressure technique in the body to release the emotional component that is now causing the problem in the meridian of the body. The whole of acupuncture is based on yin and yang, male and female, the balance. And the whole thing is based on the individual having an intimate relationship with their environment. They believe that a human body is a tiny universe within itself, within the greater body of the universe. And we all believe that. We're all one drop of water in a greater ocean. The whole thing is based on the meridian system, which are little tiny, thin, almost energetic lines, thinner than a copper wire, that run actually through the body, not above the body necessarily like chakras or layers of the aura, but actually in the body, which is why I love it, because it's energetic and it's opening up the channel blockages for the meridians, but it's having an impact in the actual physical body. And Chinese medicine, people are terrified because they think, ooh, acupuncture, needles. You know, I'm a wimp and I can do it. It doesn't hurt. The needles are thinner than one of the hairs on your head, really. And in the hands of a good practitioner, and if you want good practitioners, you know, write to me, check out my website, I'll tell you where to go. And the main thing you have to understand about the Chinese medicine and why it's so effective is that it's about function, not form. So your doctor doesn't look at your liver, your Chinese doctor doesn't look at your liver like a piece of meat and treat it individually apart from the body. He looks at your liver for what it does, what aspect of function within the body. And, you know, the diagnosis that they make is by observing the entirety of the symptomology, the entirety of the body, not just odd little blood tests that pertain to odd little organs, just one function at a time. They take 6 different pulses for, you know, various different organs in the body. They look at your tongue, your voice, your hair, your posture, your eyes, your ears, your, you know, the veins in your fingers. You know, they practice palpation for tenderness to see if you're running hot, you're running cold. They look for strange odors in your body, and they ask the patient a great deal of questions, not just about their physical symptoms, but about their environment, because all they want to do is to find out, they want to find out the entire picture and to bring you back into balance and harmony. So it will take care of the physical symptomology that you're suffering from, but it's also going to get to the root cause of it energetically. And that's why it's so effective. And if anybody is having less than perfect results, with traditional Western medicine, or they feel they haven't been handled well, I would invite you to look at an alternative method, particularly acupuncture and Chinese medicine. It's been going for 5,000 years, and I've seen, over the last 26 years at least, I have seen phenomenal results from it. Okay. Thank you, Cynthia. And may I just give the number one more time? Yeah. And the numbers are, the toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. And the local numbers, if you can't get through on that, are 530-776-5185 and 530-413-4511. Thank you.
Thank you, Ani. I completely agree. I absolutely support acupuncture and all kinds of alternative medicine. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom in that. I wanted to also share with people that, you know, one of the ways to optimize your medical agenda, whether it's energetic medicine, whether it's herbal, Chinese, or synthetic, is to also work with what was worked with and still is for some time in Egypt and in other countries, mystery schools, etc. Of course, in the United States as well. I'm not pointing to one country versus another. I'm saying worldly is literally thinking about your body as a structure of light, as a structure of energy, and then calling upon what I call pyramid temple of healing, which is an energetic light source of sacred geometry. And as an example, the geometry of a pyramid, and allowing yourself to, and you have to be authentic. You can't just do this for 5 seconds and decide that it's not going to work because you didn't even wait around for the reaction of your mind, body, and spirit. Really give your attention and create an intimate relationship with this, and of course, as always, make it your own if it resonates. But an invitation to people is really think about, whether you're on medicine or not, to work with some sacred geometries like a pyramid temple of healing, to really visualize, if you're not a visual person, then to claim it verbally, to call upon one visually or verbally as a pyramid of light, and that it is human size. And that you enter this pyramid of light and you sit down in that pyramid of light or you lay down in it. Either way, you make yourself comfortable, and in doing so, you allow yourself to be in a chamber of healing, a chamber which could be mirrored, that you're inside of it, and wherever you look is the perfect reflection of who you are on all levels. And you allow that reflection to be mirrored to you, let's say 185 million degrees, and wherever you look, and the mirrored of your perfection is like literally moving into you like a hologram, one after another after another. And you're allowing the hologram of your perfection on all known or unknown levels that you exist on to move through your physicality, all your lifetimes, and maybe the crescendo would be all of your lifetimes into this lifetime. But to spend time creating what is your sacred space, what is your energetic chamber of light, what is your pyramid temple, use sacred geometry, use the fact that you are not just a physical being, but you are an energy being, a vibrating source of light and of truth and of love, and your environment is alive and talking to you. It has a pulse. And whether you are conscious or unconscious, when you decide or define that you're going to tune into that dialogue, you're going to tune into that language, communication that's ongoing, that you're going to do so simply, just even the fact that you desire to, opens up a new realm of possibility for you. And that possibility can be prior to going to sleep, upon awakening, or as a meditation or an intention that you visit daily or weekly or monthly. But do it from a place of depth, authenticity, and do it from a place that you are rejoining your universal self when you make a commitment to show up and reclaim your perfection on all levels. as I invite everyone that I work with to do, always ask that it be of the Most High, the purity, and of the highest light. Use your own language to make that so. And then move into that experience. What will end up happening for many that I work with, and also I do a practice of that, is that you return to, regardless of what's happening to you on a physical level, emotional, or mental level, in this moment in this life, when you tune into your universal self, you have access to yourself outside of time, in present time, in all time. And you rejoin your perfection and your commitment to that relationship, to have that relationship with yourself internally and externally, starts to change not only your perspective, but your environment. And you're able to accomplish, do things, contemplate, and really feel much differently than just relying on this physicality and the medicines of this physicality, because you are so much more than just this dimension. You are light, you are vibration, you are electricity, you are magnetic, you are pure source, and pure source recommunicating with itself creates purity. Ani?
Thanks, Cynthia. You know, who takes time these days to sit and think about or honor the sanctity of their own being? And ultimately, that's where everything starts, and that's where everything ends, and, you know, starts all over again from, you know, understanding the truth of our being, our true being. I know we're talking about medicine, but, you know, medicine is something that we take when we think that we are ill, and illness is, well, in the greater context of things, an illusion that we are less than divine, an illusion that we are less than perfect. And we mustn't beat ourselves up for being sick. That's why we come and have this incarnation. So, you know, emotions are the main source of our intelligence on this planet. We want the emotions. We need to get sick occasionally so that we can understand why we got sick and we can work through it. But ultimately, the journey always goes back to the depths of universal principles, to the truth of universal principles, understanding the truth of your being, understanding the truth of your origins, the sanctity of your being and the worthiness of your being. And, you know, I'll take a quick moment to thank my old medical doctor in England, many, many, many years ago, Dr. Evan Jones, who just simply didn't want to write anybody a prescription unless they were desperate. And, you know, you go to him and you go, oh, doctor, I'm depressed, or doctor, I'm ill, or doctor, I'm constipated, or doctor, or whatever. And he'd just sit and look at you and he'd go, well, little Ani, tell me what's going on at home, and let's talk about that first. And, you know, that's how he would approach things. And he would ask me how I was feeling, and he would bring it all out of me. And then eventually he'd tell me, look, you know, I mean, if you're constipated, go eat more fiber or eat some baked beans or whatever. But you know, he had good common sense advice. But he always brought you back at the end of the session to this one thing. He'd say, you know, you probably don't pray enough. You know, and what he meant by prayer is, you know, you probably just don't just talk to God and say, oh, I had a great day, thank you, and just align yourself with everything that there is. And don't think of yourself as a separate person, you know, having a bad day, just that nobody cares and you're all alone, because we're not. No such thing as a random thought, and, you know, any thoughts that we have on some level affect every single thing. Thoughts just ripple through the consciousness. So I'm very grateful for you bringing that up, Cynthia. You know, it all does go back to the sanctity of our own being. So let's find some time, all of us. Like 60 seconds a day won't cut it, but I'm sure all of us, regardless of how busy we are, can find 10 to 15 minutes a day to sit and relax and do either the exercise that Cynthia talked about or another exercise that allows you to bring the conscious Christ light, the divine light, in to you. It's all about light absorption, how much light you can have, how much light you can absorb, and to really think of yourself as joining with the rest of the universe, with all that there is, was, and ever will be, but from a point of radiant joy. You're almost rising above your human personality and, you know, joining in with the actual soul journey there. You know, so back to you on that one, Cynthia.
Thank you. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because immediate gratification, as in our humanity throughout, any kind of pain or discomfort, mindfully and rightfully so, the first thing you want to do is escape from it, and we want immediate gratification. But if we're talking about an emotional uncomfortability, we want immediate gratification more often than not from that as well. But immediate gratification often becomes long-term insecurity. So not on a consistent basis, but more often than not, immediate gratification does become long-term insecurity. Think about that. Also, know that insecurity, actually scratch that. I want to say if you want immediate gratification, there is no better or more, I'll say, more concrete way of achieving that and really experiencing it than reaching within and aligning with your true, authentic spiritual self. That is an energy and a source that is not only ongoing, but it is one that is gratification ongoing as well. It's immediate upon your connection with it, and it just keeps on giving. And there are so many in humanity in form that are looking for immediate gratification, but it's temporary through medicine or other sources, and therefore they keep returning to that source even though it offers them less and less, and they need to participate more and more in the source. So in the physical source. But if you're really looking for continual gratification that takes you above and beyond and is consistent in helping for you to feel sustained and ongoing in either a great feeling or an awakened feeling or an ongoing thought, an inspiration, or a healing, that's really the key, is to contemplate connecting with... Actually, we have a caller. Are you there? Hi.
Hi. I'm finding this program really, really interesting. I don't really know if I have a question. Just to tell you about me, I have a life of probably 30 years of medication. When I was about 18 was the first time my parents put me away in a mental institution. And at that point, I was just at the very end of finding patients in the hospitals that still had lobotomies. All those years of being on medication and being told, you know, you have chronic depression and so on and so on. I've spent a year and a half getting myself off all meds, really, wow, really struggling with severe anxiety. And sometimes I think this is just withdrawal from the meds. Literally in the past couple of weeks, I've been wondering, did I ever need medication? I wonder now, do I still need medication? And what do they mean when they say you have chronic depression? Is that just a way of explaining something for themselves, you know, to make them feel comfortable mm-hmm. with? I finally ended two and a half years ago because I was told medication no longer worked for me. I was put through 28 sessions of ECT. I have a lot of concern about feeling like I literally have some brain damage from it, and I have a lot of anger. But mainly in the past couple of weeks, I've just been looking at the whole picture, 30 years worth, and wondering, what was this about? What was it really about compared to what the doctors were saying or believing it was about? Or my parents, I grew up in a medical family, so they were quick to use medicine, quick to use hospitals and so on. What you're saying is helpful and interesting, and actually... as I'm still struggling with the anxiety and at times think maybe I should be back on meds, I'm finding the only hope I have at this point is prayer, and I think this is helping more than anything. And radio programs like BBS have been helping me more than anything, too. And I don't know, was this, you know, set up for me to come around this way, or is this the way it happens? You know, you I wish I had the doctor that you had as a child, and when you say, you know, not being connected enough to God, I'm beginning to believe that's what's going to help me, I feel.
Oh, that's beautiful. What's your name?
My name's Pat.
Pat, thank you so much for sharing your story, and I think the wisdom that you have gained from your journey is not only one that should be shared in any capacity of your choosing, but I think that you're a teacher to yourself and to many, a guide, and I think that you have healed and that you're in the process of awakening to not only your healing, but your teaching as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have connected with the goddess within, and that there's no stronger source than being resourced, re/sourced from a place within which you have connected to. You can trust that, can trust your wisdom, and trust your journey that it is not only about you, but it's been about the people in your life. But I think that you calling into the show today is not only about BBS and everything that's helped you, but about you claiming that for yourself in your own life. And I say to you, congratulations, and thank you so much for being in the consciousness of this show. Ani?
You know, Pat, I absolutely have to honor you for having the courage to process your emotions and to go on this journey of self-discovery now, really. And I can understand that there could be a lot of anger and confusion about what happened in the past. But ultimately, you know, you have chosen to do what we need to do in situations like this. You're starting from where you are right now. And no matter how much you think your mind or your brain may have been damaged, as I look at you right now, I don't see that. What you've mm-hmm. done is truly phenomenal. And I think you're on the right path, and I don't think you need the medication.
Well, I think too that you're a blueprint for the people around you, and I think that you're a blueprint even for the people that aren't around you to tell your story and to empower yourself. I too am looking at the hologram of your aura, and I think that you're coming back fully online. And all aspects of your grid, your light structure, your soul signature are definitely intact. In fact, you probably have more of you rejoining than most people.
Wow. It's interesting. You know, you're both giving me really, saying really nice things and honoring me. And I think until I'm done with, you know, there's paralyzing fear that I wake up with every morning, and it's kind of like Sisyphus in that I have to start all over every day, and that's frustrating in the sense of feeling like I'm making progress. And I think I feel until I'm beyond that, and of course I think when you get put through trials like this, I think what the answers that most people come up with is to serve. That's what you finally realize mm-hmm. this is about, to serve. And I guess I don't feel like I can really kind of pat myself on the back or feel like I'm going somewhere until I get to that point where I'm beyond what I'm still struggling with and can serve. So in a way it feels like, I always say, you know, you can be this close to God or that far away. It makes no difference. If you're still not connected, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm. But Pat, you know, it's a process now with
yes.
the prayer work. You
yeah.
know, like most things, it has a cumulative effect. So, you know, I totally encourage you to stay with it, because sometimes you have really great days, sometimes you have bad days, sometimes you feel connected, sometimes you feel you're struggling.
Right.
But as you stick with it, the more you reach out for that vibration, the more that vibration reaches back to you. And it also imprints in your cellular memory, so it gets easier and easier to reach and stay with that vibration
right.
until the day comes that you're in that prayerful contemplation all the time.
Thank
so
you.
I yes. mean it. We know, yeah, you're there. Just keep with it, love.
Yeah.
The other thing is, Pat, before we have to go, I'm being told by your guides to tell you something. Visualize the biggest and the most comfortable chair that you can, and sit in that chair. Let that chair be your God chair, that when you sit in it, you're sitting in the lap of God. And go to that chair when you feel that you are the farthest from God, and sit in that chair and feel held and feel your complete knowing. So let that chair, whether it's physical or symbolic or visual, be where you go. And when you sit in that chair, you are reconnected and held there. Do you understand?
Thank you. That just went right through my chest. I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. Well, we're out of time
thank
right
you
now,
both.
So I want to thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, this has been an absolute pleasure and unending joy to be a part of. Please tune into our very special show on the 29th at 8 p.m. I invite you to tune in. It'll be a surprise, but it'll definitely be worth it. I thank Pat and all our listeners, and I know we have a caller, and unfortunately, caller, please call back next time or look up our website. And give us a call off air, and we're sorry we missed you and we weren't able to take your call. And Ani, I don't think we even have time for that, so I think we're just going to go ahead and sign off.
Say goodbye.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody, it's Ani Avedisian inviting you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan.